bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
If you've heard the show before, Talk Healthy Today or Naturally Savvy or It's Your Health, you probably heard me mention that I lost my mother to ovarian cancer. I was in my 20s. She was in her 50s. And I noticed that the reactions of people that I knew, or even people that I didn't know, was really not very accepting about the grief process. I remember one guy that I kind of knew from the gym actually said to me a month later that I should be over it by now. Now, number one, you don't get over it as far as I'm concerned. You get used to it, or you learn how to live with it. But I just feel like there's such an insensitivity. So I am beyond thrilled to have the wonderful Ted Weard on the program. We're going to be talking about all the fantastic work that he does to help people through loss and grief, and about his book, Witnessing Ted, The Journey to Potential Through Grief and Loss. Hello, Ted. It's been so long. It's great to chat with you.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's so nice. You know, I love it. Oh, it's great to have you. I was going to say, you know, I mean, I had lost my mother, and then 6 months later, my beloved grandfather, and then 6 months later, a 7-year relationship broke up. And I kind of just felt like this is just getting worse and worse, and people are less and less understanding, and everybody wants you to get over it. And I think you have to go through it. And what does that mean? And how do we do this in a culture that isn't very supportive? So when I had you on my show, guys, it's been many years now on It's Your Health, I was so incredibly moved by you, your story, and the work that you're doing. So, Ted, take us back and tell us a little bit about the many losses. I mean, it's mind-blowing what you've been through. Talk to us about that and about what you're doing today to help so many people.
I'll be happy to. And once again, thank you. I appreciate being with you again, and always appreciate all the different work you're doing. Luckily, I get to follow you on your website and see what's up, so that's nice. As I start to tell my story, there's an amazing piece that I love to share, and that's that I'm not confined and defined by the different parts of my story. They're still very real, as you started the show saying, you don't get over grief, it changes and adapts, but it's part of the life world and our life path. So, but over a very short time period, first, I almost died from something that's now a little bit more familiar called cryptosporidiosis. But back then, they didn't know what that was. And so I was quarantined and thinking everyone thought I would die. I lost 37 pounds in a week. But luckily, someone chose that I was going to stick around and came back. But I was married and started a great family, me and my wife, Leslie. And then in a very short period after I had almost died, then my brother died in a shipwreck up in Alaska. And then soon after that, my wife was actually diagnosed with sarcomatoid renal cell carcinoma, which is a nasty cancer. We were told she had 7 weeks to live. We were 28 years old. And so that was quite a shocker with a 1- and a 3-year-old for our awesome children. She lived for 2 years, and in that dance, we learned a lot about grief. We definitely grew up. We learned a lot about life, probably more about life than death at that time. And then over those 2 years, the girls got a little bit older, and then she died. And so all of a sudden, I was a single dad raising a 5- and a 3-year-old, trying to make my way through the world. And then a couple years after that, my 2 daughters, Carrie and Amy, and my mother-in-law died in a car crash, and I found myself completely stripped. And so I was shattered. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. The school system, no offense to them, offered me 3 to 5 days of bereavement leave as school was about to start. That was definitely not going to happen. And so from there, I quit my job and found myself wandering. And ended up in Maui for a while, and then New Zealand and Australia, really just wanting to join my family. I would look out on the beach and truly just think, if I just swim out, I can join my family. I crave them so deeply. Luckily, I did not do that and returned back to the United States slowly and ended up in North Carolina as a dean of admissions and financial aid at a small liberal arts college and started my new life. And in the midst of that, right before I went there, I was still having this craving of just joining my family. I didn't know what to do with this craving and really just wanted to die. I checked myself into a treatment center for drugs and alcohol, and I didn't do either. Now, I've worked at Betty Ford Center, so I do know when someone minimizes and lies and does those things, you know. So they just figured I was minimizing and not being honest, and so they said, come on in. That wasn't at Betty Ford. That was actually the police in North Carolina. And from there, I really had those 28 days to refine myself. It's like I was plucked off the planet and put in a holding area where I could really squirm and move around and search for reasons to strive for life. I learned a lot of tools. From there, I went to ministerial school, and that's when I also became the dean at the college. And I went to ministerial school really to try to understand what God meant to me, because I wasn't very happy of whatever my definitions of God were at the time. And there I met my present wife, Marcella, and so we started our relationship. And one day she came home and said, are you ever going to do that grief thing, you know, that grief and loss camp or whatever you've talked about? And within 2 months, we sold all of our stuff, bought a funky RV, and headed back to Taos, New Mexico, and started Golden Willow Retreat, which is an emotional healing sanctuary focused on grief and loss. And the whole idea was a place that in our travels, in that loss, like you were talking about your tsunami of many losses seeming like 6 months apart, but just boom, boom, boom. Where can someone go just to be metaphorically held and have that room within that chrysalis that it's from loss? It doesn't have to mean I'm an addict. It doesn't have to mean this. It doesn't have to mean I'm from a certain religion. But a safety that allows my frontal lobe to reopen and allow to have healing start to happen. Not an instant gratification button by any means, but to have the tools and to normalize and to heal and get that intellectual handhold to start my life and find a better quality of life. So I became a therapist and used my experiences of working at Betty Ford, as well as my own experiences and life experiences, and also being a therapist. And we started a place where people come from all over the world, actually, and stay with us. It's very individualized. We only have two people at a time because it's that private and it's that individualized. And at the same time, we do huge community support for all of northern New Mexico. And then I also luckily and humbly get to fly around and talk at different places to let people know grief is okay and it's a natural, normal healing process. We're not sick, we're not crazy, we're not alone. We're healing from a loss. So that's a very quick piece of my story that got me going in this world.
Well, you know, it's so moving what you're talking about. And I saw this great talk, speaking of traveling around, it was from a festival in Taos. I don't know if it's called a festival, but it was a Taos talk, I think it was called. And you said so many incredible things. One of the things you said is that we don't want to do it in regards to grief. You talked about having a lot of resistance. And you say it's because all of a sudden you have to face yourself. Talk to us about that. Expand on that.
Yes, that's such a huge piece. When we have a loss, when I have a loss, I'm actually shattered. And grief is actually redefining myself. And in order to redefine myself, it means I have to get a clue of who I am. And so in that shattering, like Humpty Dumpty, we have all these different pieces that we have to evaluate and see if they still fit in our world. And so it means we really, as we are shattered, we're also looking at many survival skills that maybe have become unconscious habits. And so I'm not dinging them up. They kept us alive, but maybe now they're non-productive habits. So I have to look at each of those pieces as I pick them up. There's a lot of resistance to have that mirror. And when all the mirrors that have been normalized for us, for me, my wife, my children, my job, my house, when all those mirrors were taken away, there I stood metaphorically naked, and the only mirror was myself. And so there's a lot of resistance for that. There's also resistance within the grief process of, if I grieve, it means everything's supposed to be okay. And that's definitely not true. My children died in a car crash. My mother-in-law somehow went through a stop sign and were hit by a trash truck. That piece of the story is never going to be okay. I don't mean that with, I have great forgiveness for my mother-in-law, wonderful, beautiful woman who somehow made a horrendous mistake, but it doesn't mean that story is awesome and great. And somehow we've turned grief into meaning everything's supposed to be okay and beautiful and wonderful. You know, each day I would do anything to hold my children one more time. But I'm not confined and defined by that incident. Instead, I'm inspired by the life of my children and my first wife and my brother. So So, but we have this resistance to look at ourselves and look within because we've gotten so used to external stimuli, external mirrors, and so we have an external locus of control, as I would say it. And so that have to go internal and also at the same time have so much resistance that if I do this grief work, this story is supposed to be okay. No, it might mean I get to be okay. It doesn't mean the story has to be okay.
I'm so glad you said that because, I mean, it's been 21 years and I still miss my mother, and she died before I really knew what I was doing with my career. I hadn't met my husband. I hadn't had my kids. I hadn't even had my dogs. I mean, funny, yeah. But the dogs are so important. Actually, they really are. But, you know, there's just so many things, and I just it's just so painful. And I feel like I have gone through the grief, but I'll still have dreams that she comes to me and says, why'd you tell everybody that I died? I'm still here. And I'll wake up, honestly, even after all these years. And for the first minute, I'm a little confused. I'm like, wait, what? Oh gosh. Oh cripe. Okay. This is really real. And especially birthdays and holidays and anniversaries and things like that, it comes back. And one of the things that I thought was so brilliant is you talked about, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, many people are familiar with the stages of grief. And you said that one of the things she regretted was calling them stages instead of phases, because we are going to be moving in and out of these throughout our lifetime. And you added a couple of phases to the grief. Talk to us about this.
I humbly added more. I respect.
Yeah, well, you should. You're amazing.
And her work so deeply, and her five stages that, you know, looking back now, it would have been nice if there are phases, because as humans like to check off the boxes, like when we have a flu or a discomfort. If I just get there, it'll be all better, which is a setup. But, you know, from that, I'll just run down them really quickly, but, you know, she talks about denial, which I call insulation, which is just that room, that space that gives me enough room so I don't implode or explode, that lets my cognitive seep down so that my emotional world can catch up with maybe with an actual fact. And so I call it insulation, and then anger. And, you know, these words are such a funny part within our world. And so I call it protest. And it's just, this isn't what I wanted. And in the Levine work, and Peter Levine's work, that's that somatic work where we get to have a temper tantrum and move our body and move those cells around. And so I call that protest. And then bargaining is the cognitive trying to connect the dots, trying to somehow still have the control where maybe something definitely will never make sense. I hurt, so that means something doesn't make sense. So it's the shoulda, coulda, woulda. I wish I could have done this. I wish they had done this. Anything to try to change the story. When we get exhausted in that denial and that bargaining, we seep into depression. And grief, this is situational depression, which is so important because for so many, depression has such a negative connotation. Situational depression is that surrender. I'm sad. I can't change the story. And this is actually where we claim I hurt. And in claiming that, that actually moves us into acceptance. Now, back to that resistance. Acceptance kind of sounds like, well, this is all cool and oh well. And like you were just saying, you still miss your mom and anniversaries come up. And no, acceptance means the acknowledgement of a fact in a deeper and deeper form. And so I can have that acknowledgement of a fact. And those move all around, kind of like an omelet or a stew. And we can move back and forth. But when I was building Golden Willow Retreat, I was going, okay, those five are so important. But what happens when we start to have acceptance? Okay, I have this acknowledgement of the fact. So do I go through the world as the living dead? Do I just have this acknowledgement and not know what to do with it? And I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't figure it out because of my creative brain. I called it the unknown because I didn't know what it should be. And the unknown is so, so important because the unknown, I don't believe, is something that we do on a checklist. It's the forgiveness, it's grace, it's healing, finding some sort of spiritual connection that works for someone, maybe redefining a higher power, having self-realization, looking into those shadow spots and finding our life. It's that area that I think happens as we do the grief process and happens in their own time and in their own way. I was pretty excited about that, but I was like, okay, so now this is happening, but what do I do with it? That's where I call it relocation, and many people are talking about this more and more. And that's where we move part of our story from the physical to the metaphysical. And you were talking about your mom, and your mom's peace and dreams. Why are you telling everyone I'm dead? I'm still alive. Well, there's that peace.
Yeah.
How does someone still live on? And so, you know, a lot of my passion comes from honoring my family and taking and gleaning their essence. So it's moving from that concrete to the abstract, from the physical to the metaphysical, and it's so, so scary. Because there's a piece of us, if I let go of this part, I might not have anything. But over time, we get to start to see that even if it's not in the spiritual realm, I can glean their essence, and they get to live on through me as my teachers. I happen to believe there's a lot more than that. And I, you know, we run grief groups here in northern New Mexico, and some people who've been coming for a decade, you know, 17 years, will say, it's so fun to watch your love for your girls continue to grow, and that relationship continues to grow. And so we find a way in that relocation of moving these experiences, keeping a relationship in a new way, but from those experiences, gleaning the wisdom to be of service, like you do so beautifully. So I added those two. Maybe in a couple of years I'll find a couple more, because I definitely think about this so, so much. Because then all of a sudden we're not the walking dead. All of a sudden we are truly living in the present. And I do feel happier than I've ever felt in my life, more connected, hopefully more conscious and self-realized, but passionate about getting up in the morning and looking forward to getting up in the morning. My heart melts when somebody out at Golden Willow Retreat in their closing will say, this is the very first day that I'm actually looking forward to waking up tomorrow. And so all of a sudden in that relocation, we have a reason to take that next step.
Ted, I'm just so moved. And, I'm thinking about the retreat and Golden Willow Retreat. Again, this is in Taos, New Mexico.
It is. It's actually right outside of Taos in Arroyo Hondo, which means deep ditch, which I think is a good place to have a grief retreat center. So it's right outside of Taos, New Mexico. And my wife and I, Marcella and I, chose to find a place that was truly a retreat, meaning away from most people. And so elk come and deer are around and different animals, and people come and stay with us. And we have a little chapel that was built by 10, 12 people of any faith, no faith, but a sanctuary spot where people can find that quiet solitude to find themselves. And it's just out in a beautiful area where nature is a big piece of the healing. And then, of course, there's therapy and there's spiritual care and there's massage. So it's a multimodality way of being held while we explore ourselves, rather than what I found myself doing, wandering around just trying to figure out how I could die. Did a journey that now someone can do a journey, but have the safety of having their meals made. And there's an amazing piece about loss that emotionally we regress to a very young age, but the world demands we are the age we are today. So emotionally, I might be 7 years old, even though everyone's expecting me to be a full adult. And so this allows somebody to have that area where they can have their meals made, because maybe emotionally, maybe as a child they didn't have that. Their meals are made where they can have a healthy, professional, safe massage so that their psyche can start to reintegrate into their body again. Have non-judgmental support and therapy that allows for those pieces to happen. So it allows someone to take that trek that I took all through New Zealand and Australia and everywhere, really not planning to come back, to have that safety nest, that cocoon, to wiggle and jiggle and work really hard, and then be able to fly with their new wings and be redefined in that grief. Can I go on for a second?
Oh, please. Yeah, we have a couple minutes left. I could talk to you all day. I mean, you're just incredible.
There's a piece that I wish I had known, and I think that's my relocation of my passion of this work and being able to talk and writing the book is that permission. But what we've found in the last 5 to 10 years is how much loss is like a traumatic brain injury. And so we have loss of short-term memory, high impulsivity, hypersensitivity, and high irritability. But in the grief process, because it's not recognized that our pathways in our brain have shut down into that limbic area, most people often in the midst of loss feel that they are crazy and they're sick and they're alone and it's forever. Well, those pathways reopen up. And actually, I believe they expand more because while those pathways were all shut down, I see kind of like a hurricane and all the trees in the way, we actually build other roads. And so we actually can be more mindful and we can have more self-realization. And so our mindfulness, actually, our EQ, our emotional intelligence increases through a loss. But it's so easy to be afraid that this is forever, and then we can medicate, and then we get caught in delaying by distracting rather than consciously doing our grief work because we think we're crazy, which we're not.
That is so true. Ted, you'll have to come back because I want to talk about how to help people deal with platitudes and people who tell you you should get over it and all the misinformation and the lack of support. Thank goodness we have Golden Willow Retreat, a sanctuary for loss, transition, and in recovery. Ted, tell us all the ways we can learn more about you and all the fantastic work you're doing.
Please pull us up on our website, www.goldenwillowretreat.org, or give us a call at 575-776-2024, or pull us up on Facebook. And you can always get my book on Amazon, Witnessing Ted, The Journey to Potential Through Grief and Loss. Or if finances are an issue, pop me an email, and I'll be happy to send you one. So all those ways, if you pull up Golden Willow Retreat or Ted Wired, you can you'll be able to find us.
And I want to say it's W-I-A-R-D. And it's pronounced wired.
Correct.
You got it.
I'm all wired up about this grief.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness, Ted, because you are such an inspiration. I want to thank everybody for listening to Talk Healthy Today. Check us out on Facebook at Talk Healthy Today Podcast, Instagram at Talk_Healthy_Today, on Twitter at Talk Healthy Today. Oh, and the number 2, and Snapchat at Talk Healthy Today. I want to thank everyone for listening and stay well.